You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon. Light schedule, but a good one. If you'd like to call in, please do. 790-2040. I have my one and only guest and hope to get some callers in during this time. Greg Hansen of the Arizona Daily Star will be calling in. We'll be getting hold of him in about 10 minutes. Talk about what's going on in town, what he saw over the weekend with U of A, how big of a weekend it will be this weekend with Texas Tech coming in. We'll kind of reminisce about some of the things we've done over the years. One of them was actually going to Texas Tech, probably 1989, I think it is. I'm just taking a quick guess when I covered the football team. And obviously, he was the columnist at the time. And some of the things they did when the good old days, really the good old days, when people had money. And I'll explain it to them when he comes on the show. I don't want to break it right now. So a lot of things going on. Good afternoon, Tom. Bob, how are you?
Good to see you too, Zach.
Nice retort.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I didn't talk about the NFL yesterday.
No.
So your wife must have been happy with the Cowboys.
Yes, but we didn't watch that game. We were limited because we couldn't even watch anything last night. We're watching Jeopardy. It was on ESPN Monday Night Football.
Oh, you don't have that cable thing. Yeah, that thing called cable.
What?
That thing called cable. What? You don't know what you don't know, so that's okay.
There's something we ran over to the neighbor's house.
Yeah,
let me tell you,
you're saving $200 a month.
Oh my gosh!
Damn, that's a lot of expensive stuff.
It's silly, but I really enjoyed watching the Cardinals play.
Oh, did you? Yeah, that was a good game. That was a fun game to watch.
Yeah.
I got into it with my boy Snake here, and I just don't think they're any good. He wears that attire, blah, blah, blah. And he's probably the only Phoenix, Arizona Cardinals fan in town here.
No, it's a couple.
You know, too? You know, too? Tell me, how many people you know that like Cardinals?
Mr. Cardinal, Mrs. Cardinal. You got a good point. There's probably more Raider fans in town than there are.
And Cowboy fans.
But that's only because we were used to not having a team here for long. And then they brought us one, and then...
They gave you that.
Well, not... You know what it was? It was that they... I appreciate they used the name Arizona. It's still up there.
After being called Phoenix Cardinals for a long time.
Yeah,
1988, I remember that time well when they came in and made it a big deal, and they've been here since, 31 years already.
Are you kidding?
No.
I would have never guessed they were here.
Do you think longer or shorter?
Shorter.
Yeah, no, 1988. I'm pretty sure that's the date. I remember because it came in the middle of the morning, and I had to write the story for the Citizen, and it was like, you had 20 minutes to write the story, and I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be quick.
They haven't even gotten to the Rose Bowl. I mean, it's bad, right? I don't know a lot about sports. But
they did get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there
2008.
You go.
I mean, it seems just like yesterday, but 2008, God, it seems like, like I say yesterday, but it's been 11 years.
We are excited about the football year at the Dio House, yes.
Yes, for NFL?
For NFL, even for the U of A. I'm going to go to another game at least, even if I got to pay for the tickets. The ones I had said 75 on them, I think.
$75 each?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I don't think...
Actually, those are pretty good price. That's a pretty good price for a good seat, the great seat you had.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I wish I could pay that every game. But I definitely want to go to another game. And then I bet you I can get into a basketball game here and there without...
Sure. Well, this year is going to be tougher because they're going to be pretty good. Last year you could have done it because remember the apathy started to hit in and they started losing a lot of games.
Well, I'm tired of sitting with Mikhail rubbing my head and the back of my head, what I mean.
That's why you're kind of missing hair there.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't really like buying those tickets, but I have I have a family member that's got some season tickets. So occasionally.
For hoops.
Yeah.
For hoops. Yeah. So let me ask you, you had 50-yard line, about 30 rows up, prime seats from a man we both know.
Wow.
Would you watch the game from there all the time, or would you rather trade those in for 4 tickets somewhere else?
Well, Steve, can I trade them for basketball?
No.
Oh, no.
No, because those are good seats. No, but I'd like watch. You had great seats because right in the middle. But I'd like we talked a little about this yesterday. On the sides, kind of at an angle, you can kind of see the plays develop.
Well, I can see everything but you in the seats that we had. And
you
I,
were not missing anything because no one wants to see me.
See?
No, especially do they want to listen to me.
You should probably do like a live Facebook from up there just so we know what it looks like.
I could. Like, you know, if you fell from that place, you would not survive anything.
Right.
Survive anything. Actually, are you going tomorrow to that big deal with the firefighter thing?
Yeah, I'll be there at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, look at you, team player.
I'm a paycheck picker-upper. Paycheck. I don't know about a team player.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do 2,071 steps. How many do you think you could make before you got to meet Jesus?
Really, steps?
400?
Oh, man, 400 or 500 probably. In the shape I'm in now, yeah, it wouldn't work. In the heat, I would probably a little bit more than that, maybe 1,000. Is it, how many?
2,071 to steps. Represent every step in the World Trade Center.
No, about 500 maybe. I think, yeah, I would get fatigued pretty quickly. And then have to, Elizabeth.
I'm coming, Elizabeth.
I'm coming, Elizabeth.
It could be. I used to do that when I was a kid when I sold popcorn, but just going to my seats the other night and then getting up and going to the bathroom, I'm thinking, I got to limit this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be going up and down too
Let
much.
Let me also clarify that I'm not saying Elizabeth because I have a girlfriend named Elizabeth. I'm referring to
Sanford
and Son. Just,
Elizabeth,
you know,
Sanford.
People today don't, you know, Google it, please. Just to clarify.
Hey, all of a sudden, yeah.
You know, hell, I put a photo of my pool on Facebook and everyone thought I had, you know, I was Hugh Hefner and that was a grotto. I'm not joking. That's not kind of the world we live in. Hey, you said hello to this person. Are you dating? Shut up. You know what I'm saying.
Everyone's just be nice. Hopeful
so,
for
wait,
you.
Wait a second. They said, you know what I've told you before? A hello is just a hello?
Well, yeah, except if you're married.
Yeah, you don't say anything when you're married.
What do you mean by that? I meant hello. Oh, so I don't look good in this outfit?
Yeah,
is that
what
you're saying, Steve?
Have I told you that story too? I have, haven't I?
Yeah. No, sir.
It's best just to be quiet.
Yeah.
I'll sit here and look pretty.
Attaboy.
You can handle the rest of the story. So anybody wants to call in, please do 790-2040. You know, you weren't part of this discussion last week, but just a quick question, and I know we got some callers from this. What's the toughest position to play in sports? Take your time. This is not a test. Well, now take your time. Now don't take.
Oh,
your
not
time.
That much time.
No,
I would say the fan.
The toughest position. That's a good answer.
Because here's why we have to deal with guys. Oh my gosh, who's that little dweeb that's going to serve 400 years in jail? The physical therapist or whatever.
Michigan
the
State,
team, yeah,
the Michigan State guy.
You know, we've had to deal with that. We've had to deal with forget if you like going on a knee or off a knee. We've had to deal with the knee.
Okay.
We've had to deal with shoes and hats and money and bribes. And I think right now, this year, I think the fan deserves a little bit.
That's a good answer, actually. That's the toughest position.
Talk about mental anguish to be a fan this year. Look across the board. What do we have to celebrate? Women's soccer?
Let me ask you something then. So how much anguish did you go through with all the stuff that you listed?
I would say less than your average listener.
You know how much I went through?
You are a mentally sharp and balanced individual.
I don't really care.
You are like a machine, Steve.
I don't care. It didn't affect me at all. In fact,
nothing touches.
In fact, because it doesn't, I'm not a sports fan. I used to be, but I'm not. We've gone through that too. But, you know, when you're as jaded as I am.
I don't know about jaded, but you're pretty even keel. I mean, you can walk through this office and yell out somebody's name who's popular in politics, and a lot of people will jerk their neck around to see who said it, and you'll be like, whatever.
Get off my lawn.
You're indifferent.
So what's that guy talking about?
Yeah, but that keeps you level-headed.
Yeah,
and You're the guy to go to whenever somebody goes bananas. We know you're safe.
Yeah, until I go bananas. Yeah, that's funny because I do go bananas from time to time. Hey, let's take a quick break here, get Greg Hansen on the phone, talk about sports here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera here on AM 1030 The Voice, and now I'm talking to Arizona Daily Star columnist Greg Hansen. Greg, how are you?
Hey, what have you been up to?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just here on the radio talking about nothing. How was the Lynx today? I heard you were playing today. In fact, even if I didn't hear you play today, I guess what I would have guessed. You played today.
There's some big news. Bob Schofield, you know, a Pac-12 basketball referee,
yes,
who is a really, really good golfer, got a 74, so that's the...
So he's quitting his job and now becoming part of the senior circuit?
And no kidding, he always strokes, and you have to give him money, you know, and he spends the summer in this retreat in Mexico, and then he comes back on his first day in Tucson and shoots a 74.
Yeah, real world problems for Mr. Schofield.
Yeah. And he only makes $3,500, 90 games you referees every year.
For two hours of work?
Yeah, but it's tough travel. Tough travel
and all the aggravation from fans. Yeah, and them not knowing who the heck he is because he goes from city to city.
Yeah.
Hey, so you're watching Arizona football, and I don't want to kind of get into this too much, but what did you make of it on Saturday night?
I didn't really put much stock in the second half. I don't know if you share that. You know, Arizona's other guys against a lot of NAU's other guys. The first half, to me, was what mattered. Arizona didn't look like the team that got really bounced around at Hawaii. So I think it's set up for one of the more entertaining for quite a while.
No, I don't disagree with you. It's the first one to 50, probably.
How are you going to say that? You took my line, yeah.
Well, if I could just, you know, write like you, would be good.
Yeah.
Hey, so no, it's true though. I think that if you go 40-40 in the middle of the fourth quarter, it's going to be 50 because it's gotten to 40. It'll get to 50.
I agree with that. The only unknown to me is that, you know, Texas Tech has a new coach now, Matt Wells, and when he was at Utah State, he wasn't an air raid guy. So they played two really bad teams like Arizona did to start. So maybe that's a little deceiving. Maybe they're not that much of a wide open, throw the ball and try and score 50 to win. So the Utah State, you know, he did well, about pretty average, I guess average teams, but he wasn't really an offensive guy there. It's funny I say that. He had two quarterbacks there, Chucky Q, who's now in Texas Tech, and then Lance Love guy, supposed to be a big-time guy, but he blew up against Wake Forest in the opener this year. So I don't know, maybe Matt Wells.
So how did this guy, because you know Washington State, Utah State, as well as anybody, how did he get this job?
That's a real good question. Funny, about maybe 5 years ago, I was playing golf with Greg Byrne, and I just asked, Rich Rod left, hired to replace him. He goes, well, off the record, Matt Wells. Wow, a guy from my school. And at the time, they were coming off like a 10-2 year, and I always thought, wow, they're really on the rise, 6-7 and 6-7. He lost at us, you know, as the rising guy. And then at the right time last year, 11-2 last year.
Yeah, they were good.
He came back and got, you know, tripled his salary and went to Texas Tech, which, I don't know, is that a good job or not?
That's a good question. I think it is, just because of the conference and all that. But I'm more concerned about Greg's hiring practices. If he would have gone after this guy, what would have happened here?
Yeah, you know, he dimmed, and so I'm sure he was off the leaderboard. But he's cosmetically a good hire. You know, he looks the part, really good in front of TV cameras. Texas Tech has a better football tradition than Arizona.
Ooh, that's a good question. Good question. I would have to – that's a good question. On the surface, because I grew up, obviously, between states at New Mexico. Texas Tech was very, very good back in the day. In fact, I wanted to reminisce about something with you regarding that. I would say almost equal, only because I know Arizona's history and such that it is. And Texas Tech, I don't know, but it's a football state, so you kind of assume that. I don't know. What do you think?
I was thinking they're about the same.
Yeah.
They're two isolated cities, you know. And the only difference to me is that Texas Tech, probably the town of Lubbock, is full of Tech. Love the Red Raiders, and they average 56,000 a game. And Arizona is not full of people from all over the country. So Arizona averages 45,000, a 1 million population, and Texas Tech averages 56,000 with 200,000 pots. So I would say that's a better.
Well, let me tell you, let's go to basketball. Texas Tech is probably Arizona circa 1987. Uh-huh. 89-ish. I don't want to say 88 because, you know, well, it has that potential with Beard there and their Final Four appearance.
I agree with that. Plus, they went to the College World Series in baseball, so that athletic department is not too bad.
Right, right, right. Let's go to a quick phone call, then I want to reminisce with you about back in the day. Lawrence, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Steve, great show as always.
Thank you.
Really quickly, on Texas Tech, I remember my dad talking about it. In fact, one of the very first basketball games I ever saw at McHale was right after McHale opened up, was Arizona versus Texas Tech. But the as far as football, Texas Tech has always had a really tough team, and they've always played Arizona tough, and I remember seeing them just being a bunch of, you know, it's Texas football. But my dad remembers when Art Lupino was playing and how Art Lupino was running all around him. They basically, I think he said to me, and we'll have to double-check this, he remembers when they busted up Art Lupino's jaw, was playing against Texas Tech. So my dad always had it out for Texas Tech because they were, what they did Art Lupino, but they were always a tough program. I remember watching them back in the 70s when I'd go with my dad to the games.
Right.
On occasion, my mom didn't go.
Right. No, that was you talking a long time ago, obviously. Greg and I covered the team, and you remember Art Lupino. I remember a guy named James Gray. I don't know if you remember him, Greg, but we were out in Texas, and you thought, okay, they're going to show, everyone's going to show up here, they're going to get away with a win, and then leave to go home. And that was hardly the case. That was not the case.
I think it goes back to, like, the old Border Conference days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think when Texas Tech may have been a part of it, but they always kept the rivalry going, and it was always a tough game when they came to play at Arizona Stadium when Arizona went over there.
Right.
But, I just remember that. And it was they were always tough and very good. Now, you know, that's Texas football. So,
sure.
You know,
sure.
They're really, really tough. But anyway,
thanks
again.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Swarm and, you know, great show as always.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You do remember that, Greg, right? James Gray, I think it was 1989.
Yeah, I remember going to that game. What I remember most, other than James Gray, and they beat Arizona, was that – Lubbock was a dry town. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what I remember the most. Back in the day, and you traveled with the Sky Riders, I think it was called, back in the day, where they kind of wined you and dined you and then did all this stuff. But if you remember, the Texas Tech people, officials, took us to dinner the night before the game. For like steaks, huge steaks. They took us to this steakhouse, and it was like, welcome, the opposing media people, and they just lit it up for us. It was fantastic.
That guy was like a guy out of a movie, remember?
Yeah.
He came, and Pac-12's really never been like that, because it's just not brotherhood that like the Southwest Conference was. And remember that we went to some really nice restaurant in Lubbock? I didn't know they had a real nice restaurant. And it was like one of the most entertaining road trips of all time.
It was. I remember it very well because the steaks were huge. The camaraderie, I think Butch Henry was the SID at the time. And we had a great time. I would think, God, this is what a life. What a nice life for being a sports writer. They fed you and took care of you.
I don't know if you remember this part, but later that night, we all played cards in someone's hotel room with all the U of A assistant coaches.
That's when we could allow to talk to them, yes?
It was like, maybe I shouldn't mention their names, but like half of the assistant staff stayed up till 4 a.m. playing poker.
The reason why they upset that next day. No, but it was good. I mean,
Tech was a lot better team then that year.
Yeah. And like I said, I just remember James Gray eventually played in the NFL for a little, maybe a hiccup or two. But Arizona was, I guess, in 89, okay. I think they went to the Aloha Bowl, that if I remember.
Copper Bowl,
okay. And then next year they went to the Aloha Bowl.
Yeah.
So, and again, of course, Coach Tomey and all those guys back then. Hey, I think we're going to take a break. Can you stay with me for another 15 minutes after the break?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. We'll talk about the good old days in other areas. Oh, we do? Got a minute? Okay, we have to go to these hard breaks now. You know this radio biz. It is what it is. But, you know, what I want to ask you, so you can think about this now, you've been here 30-some years. I've been here 31. Maybe if you can come up with your two or three best stories that had some, like maybe pulled some heartstrings or just kind of the ones you really liked over the years. I know that's a big ask, but and maybe I'll trade stories with you. Is that cool?
All right, thanks.
Okay, so let's take a break now, Bob. Is that good? Here we are on 1030, The Voice. Welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera here on AM 1030, The Voice, and I'm talking with Arizona Daily Star columnist Greg Hansen. So I thought what brought me to this story, or at least storyline, is your story on Steve Mikulik. Is that right, Mikulik?
Oh, yeah, Steve Mikulik.
Kind of, I didn't know about the guy, and I thought that was a pretty good story because it kind of brought me back to the good old days. And what a cool story, because he's now part of the Hall of Fame. And it kind of brought him full circle.
Yeah, that was amazing. It took him 50 years to put him in. He was one of only 10 first-team All-Americans that year. And, you know, Arizona went to the College World Series. It was just kind of an oversight. But I'm glad he got in while he was still able to enjoy it.
Right, 70 or 72, something like that?
Yeah.
And kind of just like an afterthought when he arrived here and then turned out to be this great player.
I'd heard about him from Pat Anderson and Jerry Stitt for years, and I kind of poo-pooed it, and then I read up on him and went, oh, this guy's got to be in there.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of your T.J. McConnell guy?
Yeah, sounded like. I mean, he broke the NCAA record in hit.
And didn't play pro. I mean, he was a smart guy, a Yale guy, right? Yoga?
Yeah, he went to Dartmouth, and he's been an extremely successful dentist in the Bay Area for like 40 years.
All I know is I should have been a smart guy. I missed my opportunity a long time ago.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't have been able to go to Lubbock.
Very true, I would not have. I passed through Lubbock one time in my way coming here for my job, and I broke down actually in Post, Texas, just outside of Lubbock, so that's for another day. So tell me, of the stories, the thousands of stories you've written in your time here, what are your top one or two that kind of you're really proud of?
Yeah, we all have. It'd be fun just to talk for hours about the ones we remember, and we'd probably leave out most half of them.
Yeah.
The two that really got me that I was thinking about during your commercial was when Abdi Rahman qualified for the Olympic team in 2000. The Olympic trials were in Sacramento late on a Friday night about 10 o'clock. The 10,000 meters was the last race. There couldn't have been 1,000 fans left in the stadium. And, you know, his story is so good. He flees from Somalia as a teenager, isn't an athlete at Tucson High, goes to Pima and discovers all this talent as a distance runner, goes to the U of A as a first-team All-American. And the Olympic trials that night in 2000, you know, the top three make the Olympic team. And we came down to, like, the last two laps, and he was going to either finish third, fourth, or fifth. There were three guys. And I was standing there on the side of the track, and Dave Murray, the track coach, was running on the inside of the track with, you know, yelling encouragement, and it looked like he was out of gas, and he wasn't going to make it. And I knew what it meant. And, like, in those 3 minutes all this happened, I thought, this would be one of the greatest events I've ever seen in person. And he gutted it out and finished third right at the wire. And I remember tears rolling down my cheeks, and Abdi and Dave Murray embraced, and they're both crying. And well, I mean, what a story. That's one of the best I've ever been around.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he makes three more Olympic teams and makes millions of dollars as a Nike guy, and he's still running, and is one, as you well know, one of the nicest guys ever.
Very true, very true. What's your second one?
Well, the Dick Cherry struggle and the gold medal, and you were there, weren't you, in Atlanta?
No, I was not. I went in 2000, not 96.
It was 96 in Atlanta, and the day before the team competition for the gold medal, it was such that I went to the hotel where her parents were staying in Atlanta and interviewed her parents, you know, like we're old buddies for an hour or so, and talked to Carrie on the phone. She was with the team. And then, of course, the next day I'm sitting in the stands, and it's really hard to understand a gymnastics meet in person because there's four events going on at once. And I wasn't quite sure how the team score was or what Carrie's performance meant. Because at the same time she was doing that vault, there were like other people on the high bars and things of that nature. And the guy next to me from the Kansas City paper was a gymnastic guy. And I said, I just asked him, what does this mean about Carrie Strug's vault here? And he goes, it's for the gold medal. And I went, what? And no one in the stands knew it. But this guy was following along. He was a gymnastics guy. And so then I said, wait, looks like she broke her ankle. And then she gets the gold medal, and then they carry her out. You know, Bella Caroli carries her out to the gold medal stand. And then afterward, I thought, oh, this is just like yesterday I was at her with her parents and everything, and I went to the press conference. And I'm not exaggerating. You've been to the Olympics, and you know this. There were 1,000 meetings.
Right.
1,000. And I couldn't even get within 50 yards of where she was with her parents. And when it finally finished, I remember I caught the eye of her dad, who's a physician in Tucson, and I waved to him, and he waved to me like, see you later, pal.
Right, right. Well, you were part of the mix zone, probably. You couldn't get in there.
Yeah, and the next day she shows up at a press conference in downtown Atlanta with Lee Steinberg, who was the number one rep in all for athletics in the world, probably. And they had guard dog. In one day's time, 24 hours' time, I went from being at her parents' hotel to not being able to get close to them because they had guard dog. And that was just indelible in my mind, how that all
came. Yeah, no. To be a superstar, that's what she was at the time. I remember very well. She had this squeaky little voice, this little girl talking about her success.
And about 5 years ago, I went to the Tucson Mall one day. I was having lunch at that food court, and I'm by myself, and Terry Strug walks by with her little, I think he's a little boy who's about 3 or 4. She was just pushing him in a cart. I was looking at it going, no one recognizes her. I looked around. No one even gave her the time of day. She was pushing her little boy down the corridor at the Tucson Mall. This was so probably 20 years after that gold medal. She was back in her hometown. No one knew who she was.
And then she probably enjoys every moment of that.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't a big fan of all the attention.
Right, right, right. Well, one of my favorite stories with you happened, I was actually an intern at the Daily Star in 85, and it was the story, the column about your kids, who at the time were very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
And a great graphic with the ball, I think, tearing or whatever it was, and your love for your kids and their illnesses or whatever it was, and this what they meant to you. It was a Father's Day story, I think it was. Because it reminded me, well, I did one of those when my father passed, because those really, things come out of you that you probably didn't even know you had.
Yeah, I remember your story, too, your Father's Day story. I remember that my youngest son, 8 years old, had to have open heart surgery, and that was not a good day.
No. Especially when you're a young dad. Back in 85, you had to be, 30-something? I don't know.
Yeah. That was, we found out that all three boys had this congenital heart disease, and that was a really bad day.
Right. They don't get worse than that, in those circumstances. But that was a very good story. And you've obviously written some other ones that you're pretty proud of. Let me ask you, back in 97, when Arizona won the title, I don't think I've ever asked this question of anybody, but what game do you think was the most important game in that six-game stretch?
I know this has been done to death. We both know the details of beating College of Charleston and South Alabama, and but I still think that Kansas game is the biggest game in school history.
I agree.
Remember how good Kansas was? They'd lost one game.
36-1, I think.
Yeah, they had players, and Arizona just beat them, flat out beat them. And, that was, I remember everything, all the details about that day and the day after and the day before.
Yeah, no question. And the biggest memory is probably Jason Terry jumping on the tables to celebrate.
And then the day after when they had to beat Providence. And
that was a tough game.
Yeah, it went to overtime.
Overtime, yeah. Yeah.
That was that whole weekend. I mean, those whole 2 weeks in Memphis and Birmingham, there are almost no U of A fans at either arena, and it's like a storybook.
Yeah, no question. And almost the North Carolina game was an afterthought because I think they were down, but they came back and beat them for the second time that year. And then the Kentucky game, as dramatic as it was, it really wasn't dramatic.
Yeah, somehow they tied the game with that guy Epps hit a three-pointer close to the buzzer and forced overtime, but Arizona was the better team. And who knew 22 years later we'd be talking about it, that Arizona had never really returned to that level again.
Right. In fact, I was going to say something. Arizona against Kentucky, obviously we all know that they didn't score a basket in that time, and they did it without really the services of Michael Dickerson.
You're right. Michael Dickerson faded, and they still won. And here we are 22 years later, and Michael Dickerson made $40 million, and we did
combined, 44 bucks maybe combined. It's funny, though, and I don't need you to be critical here. I've been a little. Obviously, everyone's expecting the basketball season to be a very good one. I expect the same thing. I'm sure you do, too. But it hasn't been since 2001 since they made it to the Final Four. And everyone talks about this is the basketball school, and I get that it is. But that's a long time not to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, 18 years. And they really only, they came close three times, right? 2003, 2005, and 14 or 15. So they only came close four times. In 17 years.
Right.
If you have said that then in 2001, that in the next 17 years, Arizona will only inch close to this four times, we would have laughed.
Oh, yeah. No question. No question, because they had it in loot at least one or two more times, and they were on the verge of doing it once or two more times in 2003 with Luke and all them, that group, and then obviously the Rosemont, yeah. The arena in Chicago, another travesty.
That was... That's another game that seems like it just happened a few weeks ago.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was unbelievable. We were trying to get the flights to the Final Four. 5 minutes later, we were saying, never mind.
Yeah, it was almost, I remember it was about 4 minutes to go, thinking, well, it's not possible that they won't win this game.
Yeah. And
so,
then,
this all seemed to fit into the whole pattern, you know, the loot years, and then that was the end of the loot years.
The years, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
Famous fleeting successes, too. You know how that goes.
Yeah, no kidding. That was. Do you think they have a chance to go to the Final Four this year?
There is a chance. I don't know what percentage, but hey, you want to come back or do you want to talk another day? We've got to go to break.
I'll talk to you another day if that's okay.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk more about Texas Tech and the rest of the season later on. Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go take the break here now on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. Thanks to Greg Hansen for showing up, kind of talking a lot of different stuff on the radio here. I forget, I'm going to say internet. What are we, internet?
Nice for him to stop by and talk in your newspaper column here.
I do wax poetic a few times in a day. This is one of those times.
I'm thinking about becoming a writer.
Are you?
Part-time.
Part-time?
Well, I guess every writer's part-time, but not in sports.
No? What are you going to talk about?
I don't know. Life. Like, you know, things I know.
The Bob Dio life? That's kind of, well, good luck with that.
And I don't know how much longer I'll be doing El Tour, and I'm going to write an article on myself, because I've obviously not sucked up to you enough. Do you have, like, interns that write for you?
Yes, I do.
Any of them not know me that might want to be interested in writing an article on the weird guy that always asks the cyclists if they need to use the restroom before the ride starts?
Oh, do you? At what time? 6 a.m?
Well, actually about 5 till 7 after the Star Spangled Banner. I've only been asking him that for 30 years.
Yeah,
you were like 3 when I started.
And you still think it's funny, don't you?
Yes. That's the thing. I still think it's funny. And I still, well, not still, every 6-7 years we'd call my mom because her birthday would fall on El Tour Day, much like Matt Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
So I had everybody sing her happy birthday.
Oh, nice.
You know, Steve.
You're a smart little cookie. You're maximizing your time. You know what, this hour that we do here now?
Yeah.
Goes by very quick.
There was something else that happened over the weekend, sports-wise, that I was going to ask you about, but I was going to ask you...
Arizona Cardinals? No.
Do you really think they're going to find out there's something wrong with heading the ball for soccer players? Do you think they're going to...
Where is this coming from?
They announced the International Women's Whatever Sports Commission announced some study into heading the ball for women's soccer.
That's not
old
a shock
news,
to me.
Right?
It's not a shock to me.
Right.
Because the ball's coming. My son's played soccer all the time for 12 years.
Were you ever concerned?
Very much so. Yes. And I'm thinking, how is it not possible when you play football? When you play football, everyone talks about concussions, getting hit with a helmet. They don't play with a helmet in soccer. And the ball's coming pretty fast.
And they're purposely putting their head in the way.
Exactly. And the neck. I'm more concerned about the neck.
Right.
Coming at that speed. But, you know, obviously you practice and you become better at it. But one bad move, what happens?
But mistakes happen and people kick you from behind.
Totally. My son played goalie and he got beat up tons of time with the crashes near the goal, you know, and he played in college. It was just disaster.
Do you ever fear that, you know, 100 years from now that there won't be any
sports?
boxing, football.
100 years? You're going to give it 100 years? I'm not concerned about that. We just talked about what I'm concerned about. That's not one of them.
But all right, you know what I mean.
Things are going to change in the next decade. They just are. The football's already changing. You can't really tackle anybody anymore. You can get it, but you can get a penalty. Especially the hits that you see the last second. I mean, last second with players using their helmet to get in. Mm. Have you ever been in a crash before, like a car crash?
Sure.
So I have not, but you see them all the time where you driving and you see it's going to happen and there's nothing you can do to avoid it.
Oh, right. So in a football game,
A football game, you're going full speed.
Sure.
And somebody turns just like that, and you're going full speed with no intention to hit him with your hand. And boom, now you're thrown out of the game because the guy moved or whatever. Now you're gone. You know what I'm saying? You can't change course when you're already in the air.
All right. So you're 85, you're 90 years old, Steve. Tell me right now. Is boxing still around?
Holy moly.
You're 90. You're 90. 25
yeah, no,
years.
I'm thinking.
Is boxing still around at all?
Yes.
MMA?
Probably even
bigger than
probably
now.
Probably, yes. Probably because they'll be using some kind of,
laser or knife.
Yes. Honestly, because look at how long boxing's gone on. I mean, we're all become politically correct. At least people have made it that way. And now everyone's controlling your own destiny.
Well, you say we become politically correct, but yet there was no... Was there MMA 20 years ago? I mean, that's...
Yes.
All right, because
25 years ago. I remember seeing it at my house before I was married, and it's been 25 years, and I'm thinking, this is crazy. Because remember late Senator Arizona?
McCain,
God. He wanted to outlaw it or get rid of it in the early 90s. Early 90s, he thought it was barbaric. And it is. What the heck? Come on, you're getting your butt beat every night. But it is what it is.
I have a female cousin-in-law who's pretty good. I would not want to make her mad.
No.
Back east and, she...
Yeah, no, this is brutal stuff. Football, just anything. You go out in hockey, but, they have these pads, but they're still not protected with the face. Hit the ground, boom, you're done.
Well, what's the joke? I went to a hockey game and an MMA fight broke out, or whatever
that,
the old...
Is that the joke?
I went to a football game and a hockey game broke out. That's
right.
The old joke.
Right.
So, boxing can be around football?
Oh, it's going
to
be totally different because it's already...
Flag?
I don't know, but it's changing even at the lower level because it's teaching how to hit, whether you hit hard enough, not hard enough, yada, yada. The game is changing with all the potential lawsuits coming in.
Are the fans going to stick by all those changes?
Yes.
In football?
Yes, whether they like it or not.
Because football. There's no alternative, you mean? No, seriously.
Probably, but football has become this weird dynamic of people are involved because they have these fantasy sports.
Excellent point. The internet's feeding the whole.
Exactly. Oh, it's become the most popular sport around. Yes, because of the internet and the fantasy. Everyone wants to know how their player is doing. That's why I don't play it. I used to be a fan. Obviously, we've talked about it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
With a specific team, but why play fantasy when I'm drafting guys that want to beat my team? So my loyalty is kind of like not right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
I don't do it. I don't do it for that reason. I don't want this guy drafted playing X team and then, come on, do really well, but team kick his butt,
I guess I'm missing out on a big portion of life because I don't play poker online and I don't...
You don't pay up cable? Actually, you have a little house on the prairie life, which is a great life.
I'm not going to trade.
You're on Facebook, which, of course, beats all that because Facebook is a joke. You know that. People who are on Facebook are crazy. I'm on Facebook. I don't even know why, but people put this stuff on. If people weren't on... I have a couple of friends that I went to visit not too long ago. They're not on Facebook. I says, don't even try it. Pretend it's 1989. You don't need to know what everybody's eating, what they're doing, and who really cares.
What I like is the other side of the picture, Facebook, and I'd really like to work on this more, but everybody always takes this picture of their beautiful day at the beach with their family, right? And you kind of like want the other part of the photo, and that was getting to the beach and the car breaking down and the child throwing up on the way, and then you spilled your coffee, just like get you there when you're like, oh, why do we even want to go to the beach or whatever. So
sure. Well, you don't capture that part of it.
I think it would be fun to do that because it's kind of the reality of what we deal with when you have children and things like that.
Yeah, people who have children know that. So
who are we telling? I guess we're providing a service of birth control.
Don't have children, right? Don't get into a relationship. See, it all comes back to that.
Oh my gosh, you're so right, Steve.
I am, Jaden.
It always comes back.
Well, thanks for joining me today, Bob. I won't see you till next week.
See you next week.
Yeah, thanks everybody. Thanks, Greg, for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you tomorrow's a special 911 day on the show. So that'll be fun. Thanks a bunch.